You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here. And, you know, from time to time, I get interviewed on other podcasts and people ask, how can you introduce me? And I usually say, well, you can say that I'm a theater geek, I'm a wine geek, and I'm a marketing geek. And today's guest shared with me in his pre-show communications that he is a self-proclaimed marketing dork. So I think we are two peas in a pod, as it were. I'm excited to have this conversation today with Tower Hoff, who is joining me from just south of the border, as it were, the Oregon border I'm referring to, of course. He's in the Northern California region around Mount Shasta, and I'm very, very excited to welcome him onto More Perfect Marketing. Hey, Tower, how are you?
Greetings and salutations. Making it happen as usual, David. How are you?
I love, we've just been chatting for the last few minutes before we hit record, and I love how you have really branded your entire world and persona by inserting the word hemp into a lot of your nomenclature. And I think that's key to, you know, a part of what we're going to be talking about today, because hemp is at the focus of the industry that you serve and the industry that you have built out products and services within. And I've just been enjoying our conversation and banter, you know, so far, because you have been so very consistent in the creativity of bringing hemp into the language that you use. So I'm curious, would you sort of bring us from like where that started up to date to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. I was born and raised in Southern California, which is a hotbed of health and wellness and cannabis hemp related topics. So although I knew about the plant cannabis at a young age, it wasn't until in my mid-teens that I was introduced to what hemp was. And at first, I knew what hemp twine was. That was kind of my initial introduction. And then, of course, you know, going to the beach and smelling cannabis in the air, I was introduced to that. I knew what it was. But I had not a near-death experience, but a very startling experience that got me to start questioning reality, questioning life very deeply. And it was about 12 or 13 that I started asking the deeper questions in life, like, why am I here? What's my purpose? And when I looked out into the world and I saw the wars and the death and the destruction of our environment, I wanted to do something about it. And so I began this quest of asking the question, because the word question is quest I on. So if we ask the right questions, it leads us in the right direction. And so I started asking, how can I create peace on earth? And I thought it was going to be through music. I'm a musician. I love, you know, playing guitar and singing. And so I thought music is harmony. And so why not use harmony to create peace? And I quickly realized in those young teenage years that if you're going to make a difference in the world, you also have to learn how to make a dollar. And, you know, organizing shows, and I learned how to do graphic design to create our flyers and our, you know, CD albums and stuff like that. And so because of the difficulty and the struggle of making money, creating peace with music, I kept asking that question, like, what's a bigger thing that I can do? How can I impact more people? And so one day I was about 17, and my grandmother brought home some hemp protein powder from the local health food store. And when I put it in some almond milk or something like that, I was looking out of the window and, you know, the sun was beaming in on my eyes, and I drank this gritty, chalky protein powder down. And I thought, wow, this is food as well. Like, this one plant, I knew, like, you can make twine and bracelets, and I was making macrame and stuff like that. And I had maybe a hemp t-shirt, so I knew it was clothing, but the light bulb went off for me when I realized that this was a food source. And so That was the day that I shift gears and I decided to be a hemptrepreneur, and I was going to empower and hempjucate as many people as possible. And so from age 17 until about 20, I did everything I could to learn about sales, learn about marketing, learn about branding, because if I was going to bring this to the world, I knew that I had to sell it. You know, I had to be a good salesman and convince people, especially with the demonization of this plant. And I call it the hypnosis that people have been put in, that it's this evil weed from hell. And so I traveled the world studying in France and England, Germany, Spain, Netherlands, and went to all these like hemp farms and hemp museums and hemp hostels, and just gathered as much information as I could and infused it with my marketing education and sales, and eventually created HempAware, which was sort of our hemp education station for every nation. And our main focus was live events. I coined the word HempAware because I stole it from Tupperware parties. And oh, so basically it's like a Tupperware party, but for mm-hmm. hemp. So we get together and we do demonstrations of how to use hemp. We show people how to do hemp recipes. We have hemp fashion shows. I get other vendors together to demonstrate their products and offer them for sale. And it was, you know, the concept was to do HempAware parties to raise awareness about hemp. So hence HempAware. And over the years, I did internal marketing and sales for hemp companies, and I would do live events for them, outbound cold calling, email marketing, and things of that nature. And then in 2012, my wife and I actually formed a distribution company called bulkhempwarehouse.com. And so Bulk Hemp Warehouse is our way of helping existing businesses integrate hemp into what they're doing so that they can become more sustainable, eco-friendly, lower their carbon footprint. And we do that by offering products like hemp fabric, hemp rope, hemp seeds, hemp protein, and over 300 different raw hemp material-based products. And on the other arm is HempAware. So HempAware started out as strictly an educational platform, but because I have such a deep passion for digital marketing, I wanted to empower other businesses with my education and experience. And so we expanded HempAware into a hemp marketing services and branding company. So that's kind of where we've led to up till this point.
Yeah, the part about like having to learn how to do the marketing and the sales and the positioning and all of that work for yourself, and then turn around and be able to provide it as a service, particularly to an industry that is not necessarily as sophisticated as they have the potential to be when it comes to the positioning and the messaging and speaking to an audience consistently and effectively, and all of the things that we want, you know, most businesses want to be able to do. I think that's useful in one respect that you've made this. It's not a transition, but an expansion of what you're doing. But I think that it's also probably giving you a perspective that many other service providers who don't know the industry, haven't grown up, don't know the ins and outs and challenges in particular needs around how do you operate in the world in which this particular industry has a reputation, good or bad, and the types of sort of particular nuances that are required. I think, you know, you're in a terrific position. We talk about in our world the importance of positioning as sort of a philosophy. You have as a business the opportunity to impact the way that your audience, that your customers see you and describe you and think of you. And as you were talking a little bit about the hemp focused businesses that have the opportunity to think about sustainability in their operation, right? It may be part of the product, but there are many businesses where there's a disconnect between what they sell and how they sell and how they operate. And so there's some, you know, inherent really smart positioning just in that one little element that you discussed there. I'm curious, what are the big themes as you're working with? And I had a look at your website. You mentioned specifically 108 million people and companies. And I'm curious, is that the user base? Is that the number of companies that are employing people or supporting people? What is that number? And I took the version on my question here. Very long-winded question, have you noticed? But the question really is about, like, what is the core recurring, to use a music term for your benefit, motif in what you're dealing with on a regular basis with the clients you're serving around marketing and business growth?
Well, first of all, to answer the first part of that question, the 108 million reference at the on the footer of our website is our mission, our vision. It's where we're headed. And ultimately, I believe if we can influence and work with or help educate a minimum of 108 million entities, that may be a company or individuals that are utilizing hemp, I believe that we can experience a paradigm shift in the world, in consciousness, and go from utilizing materials that are destructive and destroying the planet and our health, frankly, to living more in harmony with nature. So the 108 million reference is sort of, 108 is a spiritual number, some yeah. might say. It's used, you know, in the Catholic rosary, there's 54 beads, and a full rosary is twice around, which is 108. There's 108 steps up to most Buddhist temples. And there's dozens of other references to mm-hmm. the number 108. So I have a very spiritual foundation from where I come from and just my experience. So that's what that reference is in reference to. And as far as the motif, or, you know, how we like to approach marketing with hemp businesses, I like to think back to my marketing professor in college. His name was Dennis Morgan. And honestly, don't remember what he said, but the first time I saw him speak, I was literally brought to tears, because up until that moment, I sort of had this stigma around money and making money. And I thought money was, you know, this evil thing, kind of like most people think cannabis is an evil thing. And a lot of us are programmed to think that making money is evil. And we have this stigma around sales, and or when we hear the word marketing, we might think of a sleazy salesman at a car sales lot or something. And so when I saw Dennis Morgan speak for the first time, whatever it was that he said, like, literally brought tears to my eyes. And that was the shift for me, that I want to be a marketer. Like, I truly believe that if I'm going to make the biggest difference in the world, it's not through becoming a spiritual yoga teacher. It's not through becoming a politician and trying to change laws. It's literally utilizing my ability to find needs, find genuine struggles and challenges and problems and pains that people are going through, and find the solution and match the solution up with the people. Like, to me, that's the most leverage that we can have as change makers. Mm-hmm. And so we have a tool that we utilize to manage our marketing campaigns called My Change Machine. And so it's a play on, not only are we making change in the world because we're utilizing hemp as our vehicle, but we're putting change in your pocket at the same time. And so we essentially start with strategy. You know, without knowing the roadmap, without understanding the challenges, without knowing who you're talking to and really getting a sense of that target market and identifying their pains and struggles and all the necessary things that we need to know about them to speak their language and resonate with them, you know, pull at their heartstrings, as they say. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how many random acts of marketing we can do. If we're not speaking, you know, to a specific audience, as they, I don't remember who quoted or who came up with this quote, but the riches are in the niches. So the more we can niche down and focus on a very specific problem and a very, very specific person, it's just throwing spaghetti, you know, at the wall. So we start with strategy, And once we have that clear roadmap and identify our target markets and understand their problems, we build a brand strategy for our company so that there's that overlap. And you know, we have processes that we go through. It's quite a lengthy process and very strategic questions that we identify to develop this brand strategy. But, you know, it starts with the core foundation of who we are, why we do what we do, our mission, our vision, our purpose, our values, our principles and ethics. And then at the core, we can expand into understanding the target market, understanding the competitive landscape, who is out there, what are they currently doing, how are we going to differentiate ourselves? And once we have that, then we can go into execution. So we develop that strategy, that roadmap, and then we can start rolling it out. And, you know, that looks like setting up sales funnels. That looks like creating email sequences. That looks like social media content creation, maybe paid ads, whatever it is that we feel is going to align and get in front of the target audience. You know, obviously we go down that path. And then once we execute, we start to measure, like we make sure doing what we're doing is working, figure out, you know, where are we missing out? What are our KPIs and how can we start optimizing, which is, you know, the final stage after we start measuring. We like to go in 90-day sprints. So when we onboard a new client, we really get to know them, get to know their audience, develop this strategy, and then create a 90-day plan and work backwards. And then after that 90 days, we either optimize and scale that campaign that we developed, or we roll out a new one with a new offer or a new product or a new audience. And so that's kind of the high level understanding of our approach.
I love it. And as you're going through it, you're speaking my language. And I heard a couple of phrases in there that are very, very familiar to me because I utter them all the time as well. One thing I didn't necessarily hear, and I'm curious about this because I know that you've really focused a lot of the stuff that you've just described and a lot of the work that you've done in the digital online world. I'm curious, to what extent do you expand activities offline, and you know, what sorts of things might you encounter that are, dare I say, old school or manual or occurring in the physical world, if anything?
Good question. When I first started out, you know, I've been doing this for 18 plus years. It was, you know, definitely more direct marketing type approaches, whether it was flyers or mailers, live events. Obviously, we still do live events and deploy live event type marketing assets, whether it's banners or flyers or, you know, sign up sheets, things that are human based or in the physical flesh, I should say. But, you know, we do stickering. I, you know, have customers, you know, do lots of stickering in towns where they know they're going to find their audience. There are physical things that we do. You know, we work with a few magazines that do print ads, you know, full page or what have you. And then another one of our approaches is reaching out to press release, you know, through press releases, mm-hmm. different media outlets. You know, I find getting a newspaper article written about what you're doing is one of the most powerful ways to build authority and get free marketing, essentially. Yeah. So those are a couple of things that we do. Obviously, I would say probably more than 80% of what we do is digitally focused. But there are a few different things that we will deploy depending on the client, depending on where they plan on positioning themselves. You know, mm-hmm. if they are going to live events or conferences, then we do want to make sure that they professionally present themselves and deploy those physical methods. So hopefully that answers your question, but I can dive deeper if you'd like.
Yeah, perhaps offline or perhaps in a part two, because I'm keen to understand a lot about, you know, how we have surrounded ourselves with predominantly digital opportunity in our marketing, and what its allowed the few who play outside of those boundaries to actually, you know, leverage as a result of not having nearly as much competition. And you're talking about spaces like event-based stuff that very few businesses spend any time or energy thinking of, particularly, you know, ones that have an entire, you know, entirely digitally focused business, you know, e-com based businesses, for example, are you know, notorious for this when there's a lot of opportunity to build outside of, you know, the online space. I want to follow up on something that I heard in there. You mentioned, you know, getting coverage in magazines, and it brings me back to a comment that you made earlier about niching down and focusing on, you know, solving a specific problem. Obviously, the hemp industry has gotten, I say obviously, but widened its audience over time, right? It's no longer as much of a stigma as it was at you know, early on. There's a lot of states that have legalized, you know, sales and distribution of cannabis products. There's people who are using products that would not have publicly used them in the past. And so there's probably more opportunity to speak to different audiences than existed when you started in this industry. And I'm curious what range of types of audiences do you tend to work on? Introducing somebody new into the range of products that are available to help address some of their needs, wants, desires, versus, you know, the enthusiast who has been very much focused on product and lifestyle and what it means, you know, intrinsic motivation to be seen a certain way and everything in between.
Well, and we do have a wide variety of clients. Some of them are very cannabis focused. You know, they want the leaf to be predominant. They want to be known for that aspect of their business. And then we have other clients that are, they've experienced the demonization or that lingering consciousness around this plant as being an evil weed. And so we definitely, in some instances, pull back and, you know, don't focus so much on the hemp aspect and, you know, focus more on the results that they're going to get. But you know, some people just, they want to be more sustainable and they know that hemp is going to allow them to do that. So even though we don't say, you know, this is a hemp shirt that we've printed our logos on, we might say it's eco-friendly and sustainable and natural materials and biodegradable and focus more on that aspect. So it really comes down to the client, and there are, you know, different customers. One of our customers has gone through a major growth period of selling a CBD product. And then this sort of tainting of the industry occurred, where there's these fly-by-night businesses that are just, you know, trying to make a quick buck and throw up a website and sell you a bunch of product, and then end up, you know, getting a product that's bunk or not what they say it is. And so a lot of the CBD side of the industry has been tainted in that way. And so some companies, even though that's like the predominant ingredient in their product, they're pulling back and saying, you know, let's just focus on the fact that this is botanical and this is going to help with pain relief, and that it has medicinal mushrooms in there, like reishi and cordyceps, or you know, mushrooms that help with immune boosting aspects. So yeah, to you know, dive a little deeper into that, we definitely get to know the brand themselves and what they want to represent. Some people, they want to attract cannabis consuming people, and some people want to attract people that are against it, but they still want them to experience the benefits. So we position them accordingly.
I guess you say against it. I would assume that it's really people who are maybe their gut, as soon as they hear hemp or CBD or cannabis, is against it, but they actually want the outcome that it delivers. They just don't have the, you know, education beyond their knee-jerk reaction. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. Okay. There's a real dichotomy, you know, in, or just, yeah, it's ironic that so many, and this is changing dramatically, you know, yep. For the first 15 years of my career, it was predominantly just educating them about the truth of what this plant is and how much it's embedded into the fabric and the history of our lives, being that George Washington was a hemp farmer and Thomas Jefferson was a hemp farmer and Benjamin Franklin printed his newspapers on, or not newspapers, but he had a printing press that utilized hemp paper. So like this country is literally founded by hemp entrepreneurs. And so, there's a major education that needs to happen still, but it's a lot easier if you don't mention the word hemp.
And speaking of, you know, it's not just ease, but you also have restrictions in certain in media environments, right? There's things like you can't advertise on a vast majority of online platforms, for example. And so you have to be more creative, I think, than a lot of other marketing service providers when you're plotting out the tactical elements to achieve the strategy that you've put together. And I wonder if you can speak a little bit about sort of the what you have to navigate and where you find the best alternatives to the things that many businesses take for granted, like being able to just run, you know, ads on the various Meta platforms or Google or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And until recently, this was a major issue, whereas now you can kind of squeak by. Like, for example, we do a little bit of paid ads for HempAware, but we're very much focused on the marketing aspect. And excuse me. So we don't say the word CBD. if we say the word hemp, it's in an image. It's not in the actual body copy. Mm-hmm. So to kind of combat that challenge, which many companies are still dealing with, even companies that want to sell a hemp t-shirt, like they're getting their ads denied on Facebook and Meta, whatever. So we love focusing on the organic methods of marketing, organic search, you know, just creating really high quality, valuable content that helps people solve legitimate problems and is shareable. Like, you know, we encourage you to create, whether it's a tool or a resource, something that adds value to their life that people are going to naturally want to link to. So we utilize SEO as a foundational marketing strategy with the companies that we work with and our own companies. And word of mouth seems to be a huge thing with our clients and even our own business. You know, just having a system in place and tools in place to help your customers spread the word has been really instrumental in just, you know, pulls in that authority and social proof and you know those key phrases that are so important when it comes to converting clients. Social media content creation is another aspect of what we do. We do find that we still get minimal exposure or not near as much as we used to with organic social content, but it's still a good thing because if somebody looks you up and they see that you're creating content and you're making it personal, you're showing them how you're using the product and maybe talking to a customer who's benefited from it or showing behind the scenes, like how are we different? What's part of our manufacturing process that nobody else is doing? What are we doing behind the scenes and kind of give them a look into your process? It really creates that engagement. It creates that draw and that connection. So if people look you up online and you have no social media content, it's a little bit, you know, sketchy or it creates a little skepticism. So having that content in social is essential. And as we already touched upon, live events, just making yourself known in front of people. And one of the expressions my teachers taught me was demonstration beats conversation. So you can go out there, you can talk about it, and put up a bunch of posts and things like that. But if you can demonstrate how your product works and give it to somebody, you know, if it's a food product, put it in their mouth, you know, it's that sizzle that sells and that actual experience that helps convert. So those are, you know, the foundational aspects. We do also have a tool that allows us to find marketing qualified leads. So it's essentially a search tool that allows us to plug in specific parameters, whether it's physical location, type of business, and the type of company or person that you're trying to find within the business. So let's say you want to get a hold of editors at a newspaper, you know, you can specifically look for editors at a specific newspaper or a region. Or if it's hotels that you want to contact, or boutique wellness shops, whatever it is that you're, you know, wanting to contact, our tool allows you to nail in exactly who you can contact at this business. And then we deploy cold email sequences, of course, starting off with free content and valuable resources to give that value in advance. And so, you know, cold email outreach, we also do cold calling. That's definitely, you know, we develop sales scripts for our clients to do cold outreach. I know that one's a little more difficult. A lot of people feel like that's a you know, 50 pound weight they have to pick up. But it's really effective. If you can get somebody on the phone, like we find an upwards of like 30% conversion rates, 20 to 30% increase with doing cold outreach or phone calls. So yeah, those are kind of the main foundational aspects of what we do beyond just deploying paid ads. But there are a couple of networks out there, like Taboola is one for sort of adult, or I guess they call it high risk type of products. Taboola, and then a little bit on Google. Like if you kind of squeeze it in there and don't say too much about hemp or CBD, we find that some campaigns do end up getting through. So I would say try it, you know, at least give it a go. And if that's your gig, try out the paid ad things too.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm impressed with how very thorough that answer was, and a lot of detail in a lot of different directions. And for those listening who are in the hemp industry, you're sort of curious, is there anybody out there who can guide me through this? Having spoken with thousands of marketing service providers over the years, I got to say, Tyler, that was an awesome answer. And I hope that anybody who's listening, who's looking for services like the ones you offer, that they reach out. And to that end, I'm curious, how does someone find you to learn a little bit more about the services that you're providing and perhaps even chat with you?
Thank you, David. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. You know, the word David, I'm somewhat of a wordsmith. I consider myself I have a hempsicon. It's a hemp lexicon. But I just love words in general. You know, the power of words are so essential for not only selling, but for the creative aspect of life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so Word to me is our creative ability. And the word David means beloved. I'm not sure if you knew that, but
here's the thing. I did know that many years ago. And then one day I interviewed somebody named David here on this program about 2 years ago. And he asked me, and I could not for the life of me remember. But after he asked, I will never forget.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're a beloved bear. So yeah, it's been a pleasure. As far as finding us, hempaware.com, very simple. And you know, we're on the socials, the Instagrams and the Facebooks of the world, the YouTubes and the LinkedIns. So if you want to, you know, join us there, we you know, put out content regularly on marketing, branding, sales, SEO. You know, obviously we're focused on helping hemp companies, but anybody that follows it, I think we'll get benefit and be able to incorporate some of the stuff that we share. And then we also have a podcast, Hemp Aware Radio. So we're on all the typical syndicated, you know, platforms. So you can find us on Spotify and iTunes, if that's what they call it, and all that fun stuff. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, we will be sure to link hempaware.com and HempAware Radio in the show notes for this show as well. Taylor Hoff, thank you so very much for joining me. This has been fun.
It's been a pleasure, David. I am a avid listener of your show and definitely recommend anybody, if this is their first time listening, to subscribe wherever you can and tune in. You interview really good people, and I love the questions that you ask, David. So it's been a pleasure and really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you. Folks, if you know somebody who could benefit from listening this episode, and I'm sure you do, please send them our way. Until next time, my name's David Baer. We'll see you back here again real soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.